Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic. Each weekday, we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, something that can help you live up to those four Stoic virtues of courage, justice, wisdom, and temperance. And here on the weekend, we take a deeper dive into those same topics. We interview Stoic philosophers. We reflect. We prepare. We think deeply about the challenging issues of our time. And we work through this philosophy in a way that's more possible here when we're not rushing to work or to get the kids to school, when we have the time to think, to go for a walk, to sit with our journals, and to prepare for what the future will bring.
I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorn sponsored today's episode. Thorn takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorn, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorn. Go to thorn.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorn.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Hey, it's Ryan. Welcome to another weekend episode of the Daily Stoic. Today's episode is me riffing on three books that if you've been paying attention, you've probably heard of. If you've been putting off reading, you should stop that. One is one of my favorite novels. One is one of my favorite nonfiction books. And the other is, I think, the greatest philosophy book ever written. And so I go into these books. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about why these things have resonated with me, the value you can get out of them, my interactions with them over time. I think one thing I don't talk quite enough about in this little session, so I thought I'd preface it, is the idea of reading and rereading and rereading. I have a shelf behind my desk that I call sort of my life shelf. And these three books, each one of them sits prominently on that shelf. And by life, I mean, they're books that not just guide you through life, but books you have to read throughout your life because you get something different from them each time. You know, when I read The Great Gatsby in high school, Gatsby struck me as heroic. When I read him in my 20s, it struck me, you know, slightly different. And when I read it again some more recently, you know, there was a tragic element that I experienced a bit more. And I also thought a lot more about Nick Carraway. And I noticed there's a great little line about parenting at the beginning of that book. And it's not just because I've changed and I've gotten older, but I've read other books about Fitzgerald, about the 20s, about bootlegging, even the you know, I open my book Conspiracy with an observation that came from probably not the first, certainly I didn't notice this little observation the first time I read Gatsby in, you know, 11th grade. It was the reading and the rereading, and now I just have a much more complicated but profound connection with the material, with the characters and all that. So it's not just about reading, but it's about rereading. And so even if you've read all three of these books, which I've got to imagine I've raved about them enough times that some of you listening have, but hopefully in hearing me describe why they've resonated with me, you'll see them from a slightly different or new angle, and the experience will even be more powerful, and maybe you'll be able to recommend them better to other people. So here are three books that you must read. Everyone has a book that's changed their life, like something that just sort of hits you. Tyler Cowen calls them quake books, something that sort of shakes your whole existence. So I was thinking like three quake books that have changed my life. The first one, 48 Laws of Power. I read this when I was in high school. I've gone through a bunch of copies. Someone stole my copy when I was working at American Apparel, which was the perfect place to read a book like this. The CEO of the company used to say, look,
he would quote one of the laws. He said, look, we do good stuff for people. We make stuff in the US, but ultimately people only buy our clothes because they like our clothes. Always appeal to self-interest, never mercy or gratitude. So again, you can be a good person in the world. Not that Dove was by any means that, but he was doing good because it aligned with the 48 laws of power. And that's an essential thing. So I've read this book dozens of times. It's been great. First law of the law of power, which I love, is never outshine the master. Always make those who feel above you comfortably superior. In your desire to please and impress, do not go too far in displaying your talents, or you might accomplish the opposite, inspire fear and insecurity. So there's just a bluntness there where, you know, one of the laws is crush your enemy totally, or let others do all the work and take all the credit. So those obviously feel like deeply immoral things. Robert, who I've gotten to know, says they're not immoral, they're amoral. If I said, hey, gravity pulled an old lady down, shattered her hip, and then she died, or gravity pulled an airplane out of the sky and everyone on board was killed, that feels deeply cruel, but we know that gravity simply is what it is. We don't have an opinion about gravity, we just accept it and we accommodate. And that's really like what the 48 laws of power is. 48 laws of power is about gravity, the rules of life. So Robert isn't saying you should steal work from other people. He isn't saying you should be the insensitive master who never lets anyone outshine them. He says you have to be aware as you're working for someone that they see themselves as the master. And if you're not careful, you will unintentionally offend them. And that may be your ruin. Right after college, I worked at this talent management agency and I kept a copy of the 48 Laws of Power on my desk. This is working for Robert Greene. And in reading it, I raised some eyebrows and one of the bosses started to get very paranoid, and ultimately he and I ended up on a collision course and I got fired. I was, even as I was studying the 48 Laws of Power, I was unfairly a victim of them. So to me, the concept of the 48 Laws of Power is morally justified even just as defense. What you really get from the 48 Laws of Power is like a masterclass in history. You know, how to create compelling spectacles, how to make people realize what your worth is to them, how to deal with, you know, insecure people, how to counteract ego, how to just do all the things that you need to do in life. And there's so many good laws. Enter action with boldness, plan all the way to the end, make your accomplishments seem effortless, play to people's fantasies, recreate yourself, keep your hands clean, concentrate your forces. Look, these are not morally dubious things at all. They're just things you have to understand if you want to be successful in the world. So I think everyone who's trying to do anything that depends on other people, anyone whose job depends on the crowd, anyone whose job depends on the approval of a boss or banks or the media, you have to understand this book. And if you don't understand it, you are constantly going to be defeated, demoralized, outsmarted by people who intuitively or explicitly are following the principles of this book. So if you haven't read the 48 Laws of Power, you don't understand the gravity that is operating in the world you're on, and you're going to be at the mercy of these unseen forces. I wanted to go to my favorite novel. This is my favorite novel, What Makes Sammy Run by Bud Schulberg. You can see all the notes that I took here. Actually, the conclusion of my book, The Obstacle is the Way, is all about it. But this is a novel I've read 3 or 4 times now. I read it when I was 19. My mentor said, hey, you got to read this book. And I did. And it just hit me in exactly the same place. To me, this is a book that pairs well with the 48 Laws of Power. Because the 48 Laws of Power is about ambition. And the novel, What Makes Sammy Run, is a cautionary tale about ambition. A guy gets everything he wants, but who does he have to become in order to do that? And basically sells his soul to do it. There's this great line in the book. He says, what a beautiful, bright light ambition can be when there's something behind it, and what a puny, flickering sparkler it is when there isn't. But ultimately, I'll spoil the ending. It's this great sort of Hollywood tale. It's kind of an Ari Gold-esque character. But if I spoil the ending, basically at the end, you know, we think like, hey, somebody who follows the 48 Laws of Power, who's cruel, merciless, who does whatever it takes to win, ultimately, they'll get what's coming to them, right? Basically, at the end of the novel, the narrator is summoned to Sammy's house, and Sammy's just married like the most beautiful girl in Hollywood. And the narrator says, like, I thought how unconsciously I had been waiting for justice to rise up and smite him with all its vengeance, secretly hoping to be around when Sammy got what was coming to him. Only I had expected something conclusive and fatal, and now I realized that what was coming to him was not a sudden payoff, but a process, a disease he had caught in the epidemic that swept over his birthplace like a plague, a cancer that was slowly eating at him, the symptoms developing and intensifying, success, loneliness, and fear, fear of all the bright young men, the newer, the fresher Sammy Glicks that would spring up and harass him to threaten him and finally overtake him. It was too late to hate or change him. He just was who he was. What I think is the best book ever written, Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. I strongly recommend the Gregory Hayes translation. It's the most lyrical, the most accessible, and it's just an incredible document to think. I mean, so first off, this is a private journal never intended to be published, and Marcus is writing to himself, and yet he opens it with debts and lessons. He opens it with gratitude that he learned character and self-control from his grandfather, that he learned not to waste time on nonsense from someone. He learned kindness from Sextus, an example of fatherly authority in the home, what it means to live as nature requires, gravity without airs. This is my favorite line. He says, to not display anger or other emotions, to be free of passion yet full of love. So he writes at the beginning, he's just reiterating to himself the lessons that he's learned about the person that he wants to be. But then he opens Meditations with, I think, one of the great passages in all of history. When you wake up in the morning, tell yourself, the people I will deal with today will be meddling, ungrateful, arrogant, dishonest, jealous, and surly. But he's not just listing that people suck. And then he goes, and they are like this because they don't know good from evil. And you have to understand that. And you can't let them implicate you in their ugliness. And to me, that's what Stoicism demands of us. That's who we're supposed to be as people. We're supposed to understand what the world is, but not be dragged down or destroyed by it. I think Marcus encapsulates all of Stoicism in this book. He says, objective judgment now at this very moment. Unselfish action now at this very moment. Willing acceptance now at this very moment of all external events. He says, that's all that you need. In case you think Stoicism is selfish, he says, what injures the hive injures the bee. In case you think that Stoicism is about trying to become king, trying to become emperor, no, he says, ambition means tying your well-being to what other people say or do. Self-indulgence means tying it to the things that happen to you. Sanity means tying it to your own actions. It's also about self-control, though. He goes, you don't have to turn this into something. You don't have to have an opinion about this. So in Meditations, what you get is just the wisest man of the world talking to himself about how to be a better person. And that's, to me, what Stoicism is about. You're studying Stoicism, you're reading Marcus Aurelius, because it makes you better as a human being. You know, and it's incredible to think Marcus was writing this book during the Antonine Plague, 15 years of a horrible pandemic. He lost some of his own children, he lost friends. And yet Marcus goes, no, it's not unfortunate this happened. He says, it's fortunate that it happened to me because I've remained unharmed by it and that I can use this. Other people would have been shattered by it, but not me. A plague can kill you, but it only harms you if it destroys your character. He means that literally and figuratively. So, you know, I was lucky enough to read this book. I was 19 years old. This is my copy. I got it at Borders. You know, it just hit me in so many ways. He says, it stares you in the face. No role is so well suited to the philosophy you're in right now. And that meant me as a college student. That meant me as an aspiring writer later on. That meant me as a husband. That means me as a father. That means me as a writer and an entrepreneur now. Everything we do is a chance to practice philosophy, and I think Meditations is all about that. And no one has perhaps written better or more eloquently about philosophy, and perhaps no one has been made better by philosophy more than Marcus. It's perfection of character to live your last day every day without frenzy or sloth or pretense. That's what Meditations is about. That's what we're doing. It says straight, not straightened. Let it happen if it wants to whatever it can happen to. Can't hurt me unless I interpret it's happening as harmful to me, and I can choose not to. And then this one has stayed with me a lot. It says, don't be ashamed to need help. Like a soldier storming a wall, you have a mission to accomplish. And if you've been wounded and need a comrade to pull yourself up, so what? And to me, this book is the perfect comrade. It's the perfect friend to open yourself up to. You get something new every time you open it. If you haven't read Meditations yet, you should. Don't get a free internet translation. Read the Gregory Hayes translation, although we have some good translations in The Daily Stoic as well. Look, again, greatest book ever written, I think. My favorite novel, What Makes Sammy Run. And I think one of the best nonfiction books of all time, one of the best looks of power of all time, The 48 Laws of Power by the great Robert Greene. Read these three books. Can't do better than that.
Hey, it's Ryan. Just a few days left to sign up for the Daily Stoic New Year, New You Challenge. It's our best thing. You get 21 custom challenges, almost 30,000 words, almost a full book's worth of content. You get a printable calendar. There's going to be a weekly check-in call from me. You get access to our Slack channel. Look, Marcus Aurelius says, you could be good today. Instead, you choose tomorrow. Epictetus says, how much longer are you going to wait to demand the best of yourself? Will you do this with us? We'd love to have you. I'll be doing it there alongside everyone. It's one of my favorite things. I have all sorts of habits that I got from last year's and the year before, and the other challenges we've done. And remember, if you sign up for Daily Stoic Life, you get this challenge and the other ones for free. So I'll see you. Sign up at dailystoic.com/challenge. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.